Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message.
We didn't have children's church when I was a kid. Can you imagine we had to sit there through the whole hour and a half sermon?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you went to church and you had to sit through the whole sermon when you were a kid? Oh, man. And we survived it. All those sermons, I went to Baptist church growing up. I thought those sermons were like 2 hours long. And I remember we had a preacher, his name was Brother Bradshaw, and I think of him a lot. He'd get this huff and puff, and you know, he was really strong. He'd shout and scream and all that stuff, and he'd get red in the face, and would it surprise you he died of a heart attack?
Oh.
Yeah, he did. But my name's Brother Bradley, but I'm not going to do that today for you. So anyhow, I want to talk to you about connecting. And our mandate is believers to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. And doing this requires that we connect with people. It's not just enough what we say, but it's also how we say it and the life that we live that goes along with that. And sometimes we just don't know how to connect with people. Are people different today than they used to be? The answer is yes, and the answer is also
no.
Good, because there were only two answers right there, and I gave you the third answer. Yes and no. Yeah, it's different today, and sometimes we don't know what to say to people, or we don't know how to say it. We don't know how to connect, and we have the best news there is in the world as God's people, and that message, in fact, if you can't sum it up, I'll just tell you what the greatest message in the world is, and it goes something like this: Sepse perendia adeshiat shum bolton. Saitha bienati to vetum lindrin. Shkustocha basonita nugdotum bas, prodotiket yet to prieshme. And I didn't hear one of you say, amen. Now, there you go, thank you. I didn't hear any guy go, woo, either. There's one, all right. That's what you say tomorrow when the kids go to school. I shared a message with you. I shared it with a lot of heart. And how many of you got the message? Nobody? Are y'all slow to learn? I was slow to learn, too. I could say it louder, like Brother Bradshaw, and you might hear it, but you might not understand it. Well, I could say it softer. I could even put it to you in print form, and you might not understand it. That message is a message that just isn't connecting with you, because I'm not really speaking your language. This is Albanian, by the way. I spent 19 and a half years on the mission field, so I could learn to tell you that verse today in America. Yeah. I learned a lot. But anyhow, it says, Sepse perendia adeshios bolton. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what?
Have
everlasting life, yes.
Amen.
Yeah, and that is good news, isn't it? Think about that inclusive message, because God so loved the world, not just certain people, but loved us all, that whosoever, again, anybody, the reckless love of God we talked about in the song there, reaches to everyone. Whosoever believeth in him, he didn't say whoever measures up, whoever does enough good works, whoever impresses me. No, none of that. But whosoever believes, trusts in me. And a child can trust and believe. A teenager can do that. An adult can do that. That whosoever believes on the only begotten Son shall have what? Everlasting life. That's good news, that we have everlasting life. That's the best news in the world. And it's for everyone. The message today is about connecting. Connection changes everything. Changes everything. When we can connect this message to people, we can change, see their lives changed by the power of Christ. But we have to learn how to communicate it. Sometimes I think we as in church, many of us have been coming to church all our lives. Some of y'all might have even been drugged to church. Y'all know what that is? You got had a drug problem when you were a kid. You were drugged to church. Yeah, some of you were. Some folks were. And some folks just came into the faith or came to started coming to church just now. But we have a lot of folks in our country that weren't drugged to church at all. We have about two generations in our nation that have basically written the church off and written off the message of the gospel. They're not hearing it. Sometimes I think we think it's just sufficient to have a sign outside saying where our church is and what time the service is and y'all come. Well, if people do come, usually it's because they have been invited by somebody or because they're already looking for a church and don't know where to start. So they come here, don't know where to go, but they come here, they give it a shot by location. But there are more effective ways to connect with people than that. In fact, think about this. If you visit a church one time, what's going to keep you there a second thing, get you to come back? You've got to make a connection with somebody there. It may be a personal connection or the message must connect with you in some way to get you to come back. Because who's going to come back if you're just kind of disconnected from everything? Okay. If you came to an Albanian church, where I stole the Bible verse from, you could sit there, you could probably nod your head, but you probably wouldn't come back a second time because you don't speak Albanian, I don't think. Do you? Okay, all right. We need to find ways to speak language that people understand. So I want us to learn how we can do this. And sometimes we just don't know what to say or how to say it. Sometimes when we talk with people, we think, my life is so boring. What have I got to share? Do you ever think your life is boring? It is. It is. I'm not judging or nothing, but most people, it's boring. I think my life is boring sometimes, too. We all get the feeling that way. And we think, I don't know a lot. I don't really know how to share. I don't know what to say. Well, that verse I gave you is a good start right there of what to say. But you know what? If we don't know what to say, our Father told us, ask me, and I'll give you what you need. James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask in faith, and I'll give it to you liberally. He'll give it to us in a flowing way and in an overwhelming way that we don't know. And in fact, he will help us because he wants to see more and more people connect to the gospel. He's not content, and we should never be content with, well, we got some good people, and we're fine just as we are. No. The gospel command is that we go and make disciples, that we teach all nations, that we continue doing that. And that requires our effort, not merely a sign at the road and a door that's open, but that we are connecting with people and that we're intentional about that. And so I want us today to think about this word, connection changes everything. From the story in John chapter 4, our verse, this is a passage that has 42 verses in it. So I didn't put all the verses up. I didn't want to give Tom too much work, and it would take up all day just to read through the 42 verses. But it's a story that you may know very well. Jesus here gives a master class in how to connect with people. It's Jesus going to Samaria, and he meets a woman at the well. And we see here, he came through Samaria, and it says he had to go through Samaria, and he came to a Samaritan city, Sychar. And then you see those verses here. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon, and a Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me some water to drink. And his disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. When we look here about connection, in the very first part of this story, we see that connection comes at a cost. Connection comes at a cost. Okay, let's think about this story here. You probably remember the story of the Good Samaritan. But that story has a context. Samaritans and Jews did not have a whole lot of good relations. In fact, they just kind of hated each other. They just liked each other. The Samaritans knew some things about the Old Testament scriptures. They were half Jewish and half Assyrian. And so they worshiped God, but they also worshiped idols. Of course, what does the Ten Commandments say? You shall not have any idols. So the true Jews, the pure Jews, as they thought of themselves, looked down upon the Samaritans because those people are idol worshipers. And they had a bad reputation. Samaritans were the people that, if we go there, they'll kill us over there. We'll never be received over there. They'll insult us or they'll throw rocks at us. We'll never be welcome there. And so when he tells his disciples, we're going through Samaria, in fact, the word there says he must go. or he had to go through Samaria. This was something disciples were, that's not a welcome message for them. If you lived in Jerusalem where they had been, they weren't living there, but they had gone down to the temple, he and his disciples had, they were going back home to Galilee in the northern part of Israel. But any Jew that was going to Galilee would not go straight through, because in the middle was Samaria, and that's a place you just didn't go. You wouldn't go, because those people there are so bad, their habits will rub off on you, or it'll be dangerous for you. Don't give them any credit for anything. Avoid them at all costs. So any good Jew, instead of going straight through, which would have been the shorter route, they would go and cross the Jordan River and go on the east side to come up to Galilee, to their home area. That's what good Jews would have done. But Jesus said, it's not too important to be a good Jew today. I must go. We must go through Samaria. I'm sure his disciples were like, oh, Lord, just get us out of there. They were wanting to go home anyway, where they were from up in Galilee. They were wanting to go, so the quickest route, they just wanted to get through there and go home. This was not welcome news. And then they go there, and the relations between Jews and Samaritans is not good. And this woman says to Jesus, when he says, give me water, she says to him, wait a minute, you're a Jew. You're a man. Don't you know you aren't speaking, talking to me? But truly, many of the Samaritans didn't talk to her either, because as we find out in the story, she had been married 5 times and was living with a man that wasn't her husband. And she was looked down upon. She was one of those, you know, those that we talk about behind their back. People didn't talk with her very much. She was not welcome in town. She wasn't welcome. In fact, think about this. She comes in the middle of the day to get water, because it would make sense if you've lived in Israel, especially in the summertime, how hot it is over there. You go get your water in the morning. But she's in the middle of the day, because think about it. She goes, if she was to go in the morning, the other women would ridicule her or despise her in some way or insult her in some way. So she avoided that. This is her way of canceling them, I guess. But Jesus comes to her, and Jesus said, please give me water. And she goes, don't you know what you're doing here? Don't you know where you are? Don't you understand this, Mr. Jew? You don't talk to me. You don't talk to me as a Samaritan. No. And Jesus says to her, if you knew about the water I have, you'd ask me about to give you water, because I give living water. And then she looks at him, and she's kind of like, are you crazy, mister? You don't even have anything to draw water with here. Where's your bucket? Where's your vase? Where's your cup? Where's your ladle? You don't have anything. You're asking water of me. And you're talking about living water? It made no sense to her. She sort of is in a banter with him. But she does realize something as she listens to Jesus and watches him. He's done 3 or 4 things that go against the grain. First of all, he's a Jew, a man talking to her as a woman. And he knows he's going to get criticized for that, but he still does it anyway. He knows he could be misjudged. He knows she could misunderstand, but still he does it anyway, because he had to go through Samaria. He had to meet this lady. This was God's divine appointment for him. He had to go there. He listens to him. And think about this. The other people in Samaria didn't even talk to her. And Jesus is talking to her with respect. He's listening. He's intriguing. He's engaging, not judging, not criticizing. And she begins to think, he's doing something crazy outside the box. But this is what he's talking to me about is so important. I got to listen. And what the world is looking for us to be a little bit out, living outside the box too. Doing some things that are a little unusual. Not for the sake of just doing something unusual, but for the sake of going that extra mile to reach somebody. And it could be anything. We could go, we could be there at the hospital when we hear there's someone there. We could be going to be with them to help them in a time of need. We could be cooking something and take them something over. We could do anything to show that we care about people. We go the extra mile. We do something that people might misunderstand. But we don't care what people think, because we want to see the folks reach for Christ. We want to see the gospel connect with them. She listens to him because he's done something that's out of the ordinary. He's been willing to pay a price. His disciples are not understanding what he's done. The town probably doesn't understand what he's done. She doesn't really understand at first, but she's still listening because she sees how she's being treated by him. Our world is really looking for people that will invest some time in them, will listen to them, Well, take the time with them. Everybody's in a hurry today. Everybody's in a rush. Everybody's gone and distracted, and nobody has time. But what value does it have when we stop our lives or slow it down and say these words? Let's go and have coffee. Let's visit. Would you come over for dinner? What does it happen if we just take some time and stop somebody after we go out, get out of church today and talk with them? And listen, we put off our lunch for a few more minutes because someone is important to us. Jesus says that we're going to have to pay a price. If you're going to be my disciple, you'll deny yourself. You'll take up your cross. You'll follow me. Well, Jesus denies himself of the, just, oh, I want water and I got to go. He goes the extra mile for her. People need to see that we're willing to go the extra mile to reach them and to connect with them. Also, another thing that we need to see here, the second lesson we need to see from this example here is that connecting demands that we find common ground. Connecting demands that we find common ground. And in these verses here, we find that are mentioned here, we find one thing. Jesus talks to her, and what's the first thing he asks for her? Water. Isn't it amazing that whether you live in Africa or whether you live in America, whether you're old or young, you need water. It's a common need that all of us have. And Jesus starts with water, and he transitions the conversation to living water that brings eternal life. He built a common ground just by his need. And she maybe has had a rough life. Maybe she feels suspicious of people, but yet she's willing to give him some. She's willing to talk with him and help him. We see that Jesus, that connecting with people sometimes means that we start with just some of the simplest things that we do. Tomorrow, kids go into school. Do we connect with other moms, other dads that are sending kids to school, other people with kids? There are all sorts of common things that people have, experiences that we have. We go through sickness. We go through heartache and pain. We go through so many things together. But when we're there and we share in people's life experiences, we can build relationships. If we can do it not only just by, let's look at the next slide there. We're looking through human needs, but we can also do it by just finding common things in the culture, finding common things in the worship. We find this woman, Jesus, she's talking about a mountain and talking about history. Well, Jesus knew that history she was talking about that the Samaritans had. It was Jacob's well. All Jews knew who Jacob was. He's Abraham's grandson there, and he's very important to Samaritans and Jews. Jesus built a bridge and talking to her about that. He talks to her about worship. Jews and Samaritans were people of worship. Jesus just kept building bridges through his conversation, through human needs and through common understandings and practices. He knew the history. He knew the culture. He knew things about those people. And he used his conversations to build bridges so that she can understand. Sometimes this takes a little work on our part. But we need to find common ground with people so they'll listen and we can talk out of our experience. Or sometimes maybe people are going through something and we've never been through it, but we can say, my heart just goes out to you. I've never had anything like that happen to me, but I can only imagine how hard that is. And that's a great way of building ground with people who are in crisis. We've got to be people who connect. So many times we're disconnected because we're so busy and so caught up. We're wanting to go on home to Samaria, to Galilee, and Samaria is right before us. This is our place. These are our people. These are the situations God leads us to, and we must be intentional about seizing those, and we do it through finding common ground and conversation. And this leads us to the third lesson that we learn about this. Next one here. Next slide. Connecting comes through conversations that lead to Christ. Yes, we have to have conversations. We have to talk. And this is where most of us go, I don't know what to say. God will give you what you need. That first verse I had up there was from John 3:16. In English, it's only 25 words. But the whole gospel can be encapsulated in that verse right there. There are many other verses you can share with people if you want to learn them and use the gospel to the scriptures to share. But sometimes you can just share your testimony. You can share what you know, share your experience. Connecting through conversation that leads to Christ. He starts with water. And then he asks her questions. And he said to her, this question, go get your husband. The look on her face must have given it away. Because what do we know about her? She's had five. She's even the one, she ain't got a certificate with him either. She's embarrassed. So what does she do? She turns that conversation around. Oh, that mountain up there? You Jews up there, you worship down in Jerusalem, we worship up here. Has anybody ever diverted a conversation? You get to some serious point and they take the wheel and they go the other way to try to avoid the topic. Well, she was doing that. And Jesus just brings her back. Worship. God is looking for worshipers. Worshipers like you who could worship in spirit and truth. He's looking for you. She's probably thinking, me? Do you know me? Well, he does. I think he just showed her he did. She knew the Father was looking for her because this man comes to her and talks with her. And he perseveres. He listens to her. He shares. He questions. There's listening. There's persevering in the conversation. And everything is pointing to Christ. And she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. More than a prophet. And then later on she says, I perceive we're looking for a Messiah. And of course, Jews were looking for a Messiah too. And Jesus took it one step further. You're looking for a Messiah? I who speak to you am he. I'm that Messiah, that Savior you've been looking for. I'm him. I'm him. He had told her, in the future, and even now, the time has come for the true worshipers to worship in spirit and truth. And for her to be aligned with God, yes, she's sinning. She needs the grace and forgiveness of Jesus. And guess what? It was right there in front of her. Think about the grace Christ used in that thing. He doesn't judge her, doesn't throw her in the mud, doesn't avoid her. He comes to her. He takes the initiative. Speaks in simple terms. But yet, she knows he's more than a man. He's the Messiah. And he's speaking to her. And God is speaking directly to her because Jesus is speaking to her. Have to have conversations with people. I know some people think, well, you know, I just worship, I witness through my works. Yes, works are important. But if all we're doing is just good works without a message, we're lacking something there. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone, a proclaimer, someone who does it. We have that responsibility to go into all the world and to share that gospel with others. And we have to have conversations with people. Maybe everybody won't accept Christ the very first time we talk to them. But we just keep sharing and keep planting seeds and keep on that and keep watering that until God works in a person's heart and brings them there. That's that thing you call the prevenient grace. God bringing people to himself. And that's what we must do through conversation. It may not be us that brings they accept Christ because of our witness, but we may have a part in it. God is working through process. This woman here, she, think about her life. She had been outcast. She had been condemned. She probably felt like she was worthless herself. All her life, everything was going wrong. She'd made bad decisions. People had done her wrong. She couldn't trust anybody. Some of this was her fault, and some of it maybe wasn't so much. Her life was a mess. And yet this person that was so messed up, so undesired by the other people, Jesus was there to show through word and through deed, God loves you. I'm the Messiah. I'm your Savior. Believe in me. Well, we have to share. The most important thing that we know that sharing our faith and verbalizing it, when a person accepts Christ, it changes everything. Let's look at the next slide here. Connecting changes everything. It brings new life. In verse 28 through 30 here, we read that, here we go. Connection brings life change. Yeah, here we come. That verse right there tells us that there you go. The woman put down her water. Think about this. After Jesus said, I am he, I'm that Messiah. She's overwhelmed. She puts down her water and goes into the city, and she said to the people, come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. You can imagine people in that town might have wanted to hear all the details and the juicy gossip. But she had more than gossip to give. Now think about this. She's been ashamed all this year. She's avoided people, but now she's going in the town and she's making a scene. Well, she's getting people to listen to her. And maybe they think they're going to get gossip, but they're going to get a whole lot better than gossip, huh? Their boring lives are going to find something very interesting. More interesting than even her gossip, anything she can produce that way. They're going to hear about the same Messiah she just heard about. And so she says, come, meet this man. Could this be the Christ? Could this be him? Think about that. She went for water, and now she's leaving the well without the water. But I think she got to live in water and took it to town, didn't she? She did. She connected with this. And look at the next verse here. Let's see the next slide there. It goes with the verse. There you go. They left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's words she testified. He told me everything I've done. In the next slide. And so when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this one is truly the Savior of the world. Now think about this. This woman's life's been changed, and they can all see the difference in her. She was kind of trying to be the invisible person. Now she's very visible. She was trying to be the silent person and noticed. She's very loud. And she's talking and she's shaking things up in town. And it's not about, you know, her bad life. It's talking about something that she can hardly explain. She doesn't know. She just knows she's experienced it. And she wants them to meet Jesus too. She is changed. She's gone from being a lost and a lonely person to being someone who feels worth, feels love for the first time because of God. We also see that the change happens to the town, because these town people, they probably didn't like her. They wouldn't believe automatically anything she said. But when they see Jesus for themselves, when they hear Jesus for themselves, what do they say? We have seen, we have heard, and now we know he is the Savior. It's interesting. This town changes because of the words of a woman who... You know, but that's what Jesus does. He takes people, some of the most unlikely people, and changes them from the inside out. And they impact so many people. The Samaritans themselves felt, you can imagine, here's a Jewish guy coming in their midst. They probably think, this guy's coming to probably preach us and preach down to us and tell us terrible things about us and to put us down. But Jesus wasn't that way. In fact, it's not only that he talked to them and they listened with intrigue, but they say, stay with us. Stay with us. And he stayed for 2 more days. Jesus took time. He stopped. You think about the disciples back there. They were wanting to go home. They wanted to get on home. They didn't want to stay there. Jesus said, we're going to stay here a while. You know, they couldn't really say that, but, you know, behind their Jesus' back, of course, Jesus was not naive. He knew what they were probably thinking. They were, what are we doing here? You know, but he knew that the disciples had a lot of learning to do, too, didn't they? They were fairly new converts themselves, fairly new disciples. They had a lot of answers, but they didn't have them all. And they just couldn't explain, they couldn't understand, because all their lives they'd been conditioned to thinking that Samaritans are not worth the time of day. They're awful people. They deserve God's wrath and judgment. That's what they were conditioned to thinking. And now they see Jesus doesn't treat these people like people that need wrath and judgment. Jesus is loving them. He's spending time with them. He's in their home, eating with them and sharing truth. Those disciples had a lot to learn, and so do we. So do we. In this story, we don't see the disciples being very heroic yet. But Jesus just gave them a master class on how to connect with people who were different than them. And later on, Jesus dies on the cross and he's risen. And he spends time with the disciples during that period of time after the resurrection. He spends time teaching them. And he tells them, and one of the last things he tells them is, you're going to be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and the othermost parts of the earth. Their story just started here. They were coming back, and they didn't know it. But God knew. He was preparing them all the way. And just as God has prepared them, as using this incident here to prepare them, I think God is using this incident here in the story to prepare us to share the gospel and to connect with other people. And there may be other people down the road we hadn't met yet, but what we're learning today is going to help us connect better in the future. Our churches cannot survive if we continue just simply expecting somebody to come and visit us, hoping they do. We've got to connect. We must go through Samaria. We must connect with people. We must take the time. We must find ways. We must find the language, the things to say. We must come as humble people that don't have all the answers, but yet we share what we know. Share it humbly, share it respectfully, share it lovingly. Not out of obligation, but out of just that our hearts are so full of love, we want other people to experience it. Just like this woman. She goes into the town. I met the man. I want you to meet him too. And they do. God is looking for us not to simply come to church, check boxes that we did a few things. He's looking for us to be connecting because our world needs us. And it needs us desperately. And it needs our gospel. How shall they hear without a proclaimer? We are the proclaimers. We are the proclaimers. Let's find a way to connect and see that connection changes everything. Let's bow.
All right, friends. I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.